You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
City, Madison, the John and Gordy in the Morning Show, and a big welcome to everybody, and the light dusting of snow that we have.
Yeah, a little bit slippery out there, but it's just, like you say, just a little coating, just enough to make it a little dicey on some of the roads.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's 11 degrees. It's a cold start.
It is.
And we're going to get snow tomorrow, maybe 5 to 6 inches tomorrow.
Don't say that.
I'm saying it right
You're
now.
You're saying it, man.
I just said it.
Yeah, right to my face.
Right to your face, my friend. Man. Yeah, it's going to be cloudy all day long. Let's check out the afternoon high temperature today. What do you say we hit the jackpot on the one-armed bandit?
I like that.
All right. Yeah. Let's see what the first number might be. 0, 1, 9 19.
Pay it
hit
out.
The jackpot. 19,
19
for a high.
That's fantastic.
So bundle up. Bundle up. It's still winter.
It is.
Yeah, snow tomorrow. So, yeah, get your skis out. Get the snowmobile going. Get the snow thrower. Be sure to check your windshield wipers. The whole bit.
You never know. Somebody might think this is actually something they could use that snowmobile.
The snowmobile?
Yeah.
When was the last time you were on a snowmobile?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. It's got to be at least 20 years for me.
Yeah. It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems like a lot of work for nothing.
Well, a lot of people enjoy, you know, up north where they have some snow.
Yeah.
They, you know... Go on the snowmobile trails, have a couple of pops along the way.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, definitely.
Look out for those fences.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't like those fences.
No.
Nope.
Look out for those low-hanging tree branches.
Yeah, those are bad, too. That's what I always thought was kind of stupid about snowmobiling. You know, if you don't know the terrain and you're running through the forest and you might think, oh, I'll take a shortcut here. Looks like nice, deep snow. Bad decision, and some people have actually died.
Oh, sure.
Snowmobiling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That happens quite frequently.
Same thing with the ATVs. You know, I'm not for the ATVs or snowmobiles, so that's me. That's where I stand on that issue.
You just don't like to have fun, John.
I don't. I
well,
I know.
ATVs, I understand it if you're on a farm and you want to get around the farm.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand them as a utility vehicle.
At least they don't have three wheels anymore, John.
Yes. Yeah. That. Yeah. But, you know, the ATVs, they look like they're going to tip over at any moment. Just parked. They look like they could fall over.
What do you mean? They're like
they don't have a wide wheelbase.
Yeah.
Well,
wide enough wheelbase.
It's just you sitting on them. It's not like it's a whole car.
Well, you know, but still, I mean, if you take a corner very sharp.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are no corners exactly out in,
plus,
in
they're
a, in
noisy.
A field.
They're but, noisy and annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
that's what I hear from people live out in the country that don't like them. A lot of people do like them.
Yeah.
But, they're noisy.
All right, I'm going to come right out and say it. I know we're sitting here and we're just kind of bantering back and forth. We're trying not to talk about Trump's attempt to bring back plastic straws. I know, you know, we've been holding back here. You know, we're talking about, you know, snowmobiles and stuff like that. But really, we're upset that the plastic straws are coming back. That
they are.
He is attacking us now.
Yes.
For going to paper straws, something biodegradable.
Right.
What are the sea turtles to do?
Yes.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, this is just in your face.
It is.
And it's not in our face. It's, you know, sea life's face. We certainly don't want plastic around. Well, you know, even in our brains, we've got plastic rolling around. Why do we want to put more,
more plastic
out there?
I don't know.
I mean, I know that Trump's not going to be around that much longer, but, you know, he doesn't have to at least poison, you know, Generation Alpha and Generation Z and millennials.
Just part of retribution, the retribution campaign.
Yes, getting even.
Just getting even.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not worrying about the climate. In fact, you know, just in your face with the climate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring back plastic straws.
Right.
Sure.
And this other thing that I think we're going to mention later on is the Voice of America.
Oh, boy.
You know, they're going after the Voice of America. They would just want to, you know, everything that we have done in the past has to be killed, destroyed, blown up, whatever. Elon doesn't like anything this country has done. Why have we put him in charge of doing all of this dissembling?
Well, we didn't put him in charge.
Well,
that, put
well,
him
yeah,
in charge.
That's true. And the problem here is that they're accusing Voice of America for being left.
Yeah.
And that's why they want to get rid of it. Now, big picture, I'm a big picture guy, and I see the forest for the trees, okay?
Right.
And what I'm looking at here is a party, a mega party, trying to do away with the left.
Right.
I mean, if you come right out and say, well, it's leftist, then that means you're trying to silence the left. And that would be censorship, government censorship. And these guys want to censor an entire, well, I don't know, population, half the population in this damn country, if we want to just get to the bottom line.
Right.
So what in the hell is going on? We've got to look at the big picture sometimes. And when they accuse programs of being left and the Voice of America being a leftist body.
Organization.
Yeah, to just, you know, promote propaganda from the left. They're trying to silence the left. You know, that's the bottom line. It's pretty simple, but we just ignore that part of it.
Well, they're trying to silence democracy, too.
Yeah.
It is the voice of democracy. It's,
exactly.
You know, what we're
all
about.
The world.
Or what we were all about, anyway.
They act like no one's listening to it anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Do you listen to it, Sam?
No, but I was just reading on the Wikipedia page. It's primarily targeted at non-Americans. It broadcasts in dozens of languages and reaches like hundreds of millions of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's one thing they can't stop, John, and that's the National Day Calendar. Thank goodness we still have freedom in this country.
Oh, thank you for bringing us all up.
Let's see. What day is it today? Is it or is it not National Guitar Day?
Mm-hmm.
Is it or is it not National Safety Internet U.S. Day?
What?
Safer Internet Day U.S. is what I meant to say. Is it, or is it not National Inventors Day? Is it National Peppermint Patty Day? National Construction Workers Day? Or National Shut-In Visitation Day? Which one of those days? Oh, there's a couple more. National Don't Cry Over Spilled Milk Day? And National Make a Friend Day. Which one does not belong?
God.
I know, there's a lot to choose from.
That was quite
the
list.
You want me to run us through again?
No. Wow. I don't think so.
No, what do you... what day is it?
It's not National Donut Day.
That was not on the list, so you got a buzzer. Sam, do you recall what any of these days...
The last one, Make a Friend Day. It's not that.
It is Make a Friend Day.
Oh, no.
It's not National Construction Workers Day. That might be some other day, but it's not today. So... National Make a Friend Day is today. Make a friend.
Yeah.
What's that all about? It's got a nice picture of a dog and a cat there.
That kind of friend?
Yeah. It's a fantastic opportunity to meet someone, make a new friendship, friends. It doesn't say about anything about dogs or cats. Why would they put a picture like that up there? Don't understand it. How to observe National Make a Friend Day. Make a friend at work or at school, in the community, or just about anywhere.
Yeah.
Introduce one friend to another. Give a shout out to a friend who makes your life better. You know, if you're listening to the John and Gordy show right now, you know, tell a friend about it, right?
That'll make their life a lot better.
Right. Invite someone you'd like to know better out for coffee or tea. Let's have a tea.
No.
Share your tips on how to make friends on National Friend Day.
That's very nice.
Sam, have you made any friends lately?
No.
Okay. Thank you for playing our game.
We work in radio. We don't make friends.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
It's National Guitar Day. Why would they have a day just for guitars?
I don't know.
Well, each year on February 11th, National Guitar Day strikes a chord with music lovers. See what they did there? The musical day honors one of the most iconic and versatile instruments in the world, the guitar. Guitar goes back 4,000 years. Jeez. Those are old guitars. They got to get tuned up a little more often. Six ways to celebrate National Guitar. Play your guitar. Learn to play the guitar. Attend a live show with a guitar. Connect with fellow guitar players. Share your music. Appreciate guitar legend. Okay. We all love the guitar.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
National Internet Day.
Yep.
What's that about? Safer internet. Well, that's out the window, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Elon's taken over, so how safe is it? Yeah, it occurred to me, we're really in a cyber war right now with ourselves, with Elon. I mean, Elon's taken over.
Yep, he is.
Right? He's getting all the connections.
Boy, just look at his picture. Every time I see the picture of Elon, I just think Nazi.
Yeah.
I do. It just looks like that, you know, like the caricature.
Well, you can't judge a book by its cover, John.
No,
he could
really
be a
can't.
Very nice guy in person. You know,
he has an unusual way to wave at people. That's all.
Hey!
That's all.
Okay. It's National Inventors Day, National Peppermint Patty Day, National Shut-In Visitation Day, and National Don't Cry Over Spilled Milk Day. What is that about? Okay. Promotes a positive attitude, even when things are not going your way. We run into that occasionally. It's a day for looking on the bright side of things and carrying that feeling with you every day after. So do that. Sam, anything in the history books?
Anything that stands out for you today?
We got quite a slew of things.
You're going to open up the internet book, or are you going to open up the real book?
The internet book. I like that one.
We're running low on time here, so
all right.
We'll...
That's fine.
Yeah.
Are we?
Move on.
All right.
Sorry, I was just trying to get things going for the music here.
All right.
One thing in the history book before we head out here. Today in 1809, Robert Fulton, he's issued a patent for a steamboat, the very first commercially successful steamboat, that is.
Yeah.
Ran passengers on the Hudson River for quite a few years.
You know, that's great stuff, you know,
steamboats.
But how do you make the materials to create that steam engine, right? I mean,
metal.
Who do you send your designs to that create? Well, I just, you know, it's hard to start something new. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
Robert Fulton.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's more.
Hey, we've got more right around the corner on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I was going to sing 92.7. I didn't want to do that. WMPX, John and Gordy in the Morning.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. You can go to their location on Madison's east side or their west side locations, or go to verlo.com. Ask about their lifetime comfort guarantee.
All right.
Phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. Yeah. That's 879-TALK. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. It's free to download, and you can text us right from the app or call us from the Civic Media app. What do we have, John?
Well, we do have a few texts here from Matt in Middleton as our screen rolls by.
Just as you went through it.
There we go. Matt says, everything for MAGA is the culture war and owning the libs because they're grifters and no solution to their problems. And that is true. You know, everything they're doing right now is not a solution to a problem. It's just something that they've always wanted to do. And it doesn't make any sense, of course, bringing back plastic straws. Well, my goodness, I hope so. Look over here while we rob you of your future and give you measles. Yes.
Thank you to Matt from Middleton for that.
And he also mentions that we've already lost economically to China. Mm.
Okay. China.
And now let's scroll down further. Martin Verona.
He mentioned, because the Gulf of Mexico has apparently been renamed to the Gulf of America.
Right.
Disappointed in Google and Yahoo Maps displaying the Gulf of America on their maps. Is it official? What are the best alternatives to these mega engines?
WTF.
How do they officially do that? I mean, rename a body of water that's international, right? I mean,
this is where you want to go back to the paper. Historical.
Yeah, use a paper map. I mean, it's probably like there's multiple places in the world that have different names for like political reasons by different groups. Yeah. So I'm sure it's something like that. Google probably has had to deal with that before. This is just another stupid example of that happening.
Well, thank you, Martin.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah.
For that analysis.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Well.
Anything else in the history books before we close?
There's a whole bunch
it?
Of stuff, isn't there?
There is, yeah. Today in 1878, what was the last time you guys rode a bicycle?
It's been a long time, yes.
Last spring.
Gordy, you want me to fix up your bike. It's still broken, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's been broken for years.
It's been...
So how did you manage to get on a bike recently?
It's an e-bike, but the e portion of the bike is broken, not the rest of the bike. So I can still ride it as a regular bike.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's just a little heavier. I want to get rid of the back wheel because the motor burned out.
Yeah. Well, you kind of need... two wheels on
exactly.
a bicycle.
So we need to get rid of that hub. You promised me you could do it, Sam.
I didn't promise anything,
yes,
but
you
I
did.
I'll try my
best. Is that what you're
going to
do? Is you're going to get rid of the hub in
well,
the wheel?
Well, either going to get rid of
find
the hub.
Find a replacement or... wheel for Gordy.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Anyway, the reason I mentioned bicycles, today in 1878, the Boston Bicycle Club was formed, the very first cycling club in the United States.
Nice.
John, when was the last time you were on a bike?
Very, very long time ago, my kid lassoed my wife and I into riding bicycles to his elementary school.
Your kid has a lasso?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a cowboy.
And for some reason, you know, we went along with that. So we bought all these bicycles for the entire family and we rode with him in the morning, you know, at 7 a.m.
Yeah. Nice.
And it was ridiculous, you know? Mm-hmm. And then after a while, maybe after about a year of doing this, he abandoned the bicycle and that was it. Now we never go on the bike. So I don't like it.
No?
You know, in fact, I even bought a bike carrier for the vehicle.
Yeah.
And we used it once. We went out to the boardwalk out in Monona. And in McFarland. They put out a new trail out there into the lake. Mm-hmm. And we went out there, and that was kind of fun. And that was the very last time.
Wow.
And then I sold the bike rack. This is really weird. These people that like bicycles, what's wrong with that?
Why?
I sold the bike rack. I actually had two bike racks and got one for Christmas. And we never opened the box, and I sold it online. And somebody came over to pick it up, and they were very skeptical of the bike. The bike rack, it's in the box. I never opened the box. Mm-hmm. And he said, are you sure you didn't open this box? Well, seriously. And, you know, it's one of those very, very good bike racks.
So did you open the box?
Never did. I said, I didn't open the box. He says, well, are you sure? And he's looking at it. He's trying to figure out whether I had sealed the box up for him to make it look like we never had it out of the box.
Did he end up buying it?
What an ass. Oh, you know?
Okay. Well, did he buy it?
Yes, he did buy it, but eventually, he took it out of the damn box and everything. I'm sitting there.
He took it out of the box.
Mr. Ownership guy, yeah.
Well,
Well, it just did, you know, another negative.
Okay. Got a couple of minutes here. Let's go to the phones. Matt is on the line this morning with a question or a comment. Matt, go ahead.
Morning, guys.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about quick why I think a lot of these MAGA voters are cheering on this dismantling of federal jobs and the public sector. I feel like there's always been this weird animosity between people in the private versus the public sectors because, you know, in the public sector, you usually have a union, you have pension, you have the work-life balance, you have a little more rights, maybe you're paid fairly. And the private sector people that don't get all that stuff, that they can't stand that. So they're like, instead of helping themselves achieve those things and be better off, they want to just dismantle and take away from other people the things they wish they had. You know?
That's it.
And
that's
just a very sinister, kind of ugly part of American life, honestly.
It really is. And now it's the way of life. We have a president like that.
That's a good point.
Who thinks like that.
Yeah. Matt, thanks for the comment. By the way, Matt, before we let you go, are you listening to Civic Media on your app or regular radio or car radio?
I listen on the radio during the day with my job. I work at the post office, so I'm one of those public sector people that is treated fairly decent, but we'll see how long that lasts under the Orange Messiah. But, but in the morning, right now, your show, I do it on the app through my phone.
Okay. Yeah, well, good
fantastic.
To know. Just kind of curious. All right.
It is. Keep up the good work.
Yep,
all right.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. 6:29, coming back with Idiocracy right around the corner on John and Gordy in the Morning.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
Now listen, Grapehead, I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
You calling me a liar?
I ain't calling you a truther.
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Yep. Well, we've got a lot of dumb stuff this time around, too.
We'll get to it in just a moment after I make this special announcement, John.
Oh, gee. Okay.
David J. Frank is bringing you this portion of the John and Gordy Show.
Yes.
Your turnkey, one-stop landscaping resource celebrating 65 years in business. They offer ultimate satisfaction. They're here to deliver exactly what you need for your lawn care, flower care, trimming, shaping, pruning. David J. Frank, they're the largest landscape contractor in southeast Wisconsin. They have branches in Madison, Milwaukee, Kenosha, and you can find out all the information you need to know by going to their website, which is just davidjfrank.com. They have residential services and commercial services as well. Sam, do you have a question about David
what do you
J.
Think,
Frank?
What do you think the J stands for? What's David's middle name?
I'm not sure. What that would be. Next time we have the horticultural report, I'm not going to guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll ask.
I'm asking the important questions, Gordon.
I know, yeah. You've got them all.
You're right there.
Yep.
Again, davidjfrank.com. Maybe if you peruse their website, you'll find out more. Okay.
All right, we've got a text here from Doug, Music News, United States heavy metal bands, Metallica, Slayer, and Megadeth, are supporting Trump's tariffs.
They are.
On metal. So.
On metal. So they're good with the tariffs.
They don't want other
metal bands coming in.
Going to protect them.
That's good.
That's always good news. Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug, for
noticing that. Let's get into the kangaroo courts. This is a little depressing. A government worker reports that fresh-faced 19, 20, and 21-year-olds from Doge are running 15-minute kangaroo courts to decide if federal employees keep their jobs or not.
Are they really?
Yes, yes.
Where do they get the kangaroos?
Bureaucracy just turned into an episode of Shark Tank, but with interns holding the gavel at this point. So we have somebody actually telling their story. Let's listen to this.
I was nervous and reticent to come up here and speak just for retaliation purposes. I just wanted to share some things that are going on at my agency. In the last week, we had Elon Musk in our building, and after he visited the building, called for a 50% cut of the entire agency. My colleagues are getting 15-minute one-on-one check-ins with 19, 20, and 21-year-old college graduates asking to justify their existence. Supervisors are being told not to tell their staff anything, withhold information. And today we got word that supervisors must now fill out a justification form and that there's going to be just a 30% rank and yank of all staff in my agency. And to top it all off, one of Musk's top lieutenants and his wife and young child have shacked up on the sixth floor of our agency and are living there. The hallway's been blocked off with a special access list for people who can't get back there. Queer and trans folks of my agency are being doxxed in public.
Yeah, they're being doxxed. Okay. Wow. So, yeah, wow. They're getting doxxed in public and everything. It's an amazing thing in these kangaroo courts. You know, 15 minutes.
A little difficult to hear everything there. Who was getting shacked up in the what was that all about?
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand that. Can you enlighten us?
Some guy with a relation to Musk. I missed how he's related to Doge or what. But
they shack. They're shacking up and they're staying in the building.
Yeah, he and his family are living in the government building.
Yeah, they're living right in the building. So,
okay.
And of course, you know, when he said 15 minutes to justify their existence.
Right. That's it.
Wow. That's a little on the scary side.
A little interrogation.
Yes.
They have a light bulb swinging over their heads and sitting there in a chair sweating.
It's an My empty God. Room where this guy was speaking to this other guy explaining what they're doing. It's frightening stuff.
It
isn't what we know government to be like. You know, I mean, we do have rules and regulations of government. It protects all this private information. And for them, it doesn't impress them in the least.
No.
It's actually information they don't have access to until they're given permission. So anyway, let's get into something a little bit. Well, hey, we got another story rolling in here, right?
Is the teletype machine jammed?
I think it is.
Wait.
Oh, there it is. There's the alarm on the old teletype machine that we've had here in the back of the room. Oh,
here it comes rolling in.
Okay, there it is.
Finally.
There it is.
Had to change the ribbon on it and, you know, get a new roll of paper. There's so much news coming across.
It does happen a lot. Israeli hostage releases are now in jeopardy because Hamas says the U.S. guarantees for the ceasefire are no longer in place, citing Trump's displacement plan. Wow.
Okay.
Now, he came right out and said exactly what he wanted. This is cut 65.
I think there's a good chance. Yeah.
How many people are you thinking about?
All of them. I mean, we're talking about probably 1.7 million people, 1.7 million, maybe 1.8 million. But I think all of them. I think they'll be resettled in areas where they can live a beautiful life and not be worried about dying every day.
Yes. Irresponsible words have real world consequences, right, Donald? Huh? King Donald? Oh, man. And now the fragile deal that Biden painstakingly helped broker a hostage release is in jeopardy because of it. There's a headline at CNN that says Trump says all hell is going to break out if Hamas doesn't release the hostages by Saturday at noon. Yeah, there's a lot of trouble now in that deal because of Mr. Big Mouth. Okay. Wow.
Well, he's drawing a pretty definitive line in the sand there. Saturday at noon, huh?
Yes.
That's it.
All hell is going to break loose. What would that be?
I don't know.
You know, he's not supposed to tip his hand. Remember in the old days, you know, with Biden as president?
Yeah.
Well, that Biden, he's always telling everybody what he's going to do next. Well, now we have another president doing just that.
Yeah.
All right. Now, speaking of stupidity and loudmouths, I have a story about Michael Gableman. I didn't get to this in the last week, But I had to bring it up only because of the descriptions that people gave of Mike Gabelman.
Okay.
So instead of me criticizing Mike Gabelman, we have a few other people involved. Former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gabelman. It's hard to even imagine that he was on the Supreme Court at one time.
But he's retired now?
Who is fighting to keep his law license after regulators filed a complaint related to his work leading discredited review of the 2020 election. Remember this big review that they put in place? And it was a disaster, of course. You know, he acted like some kind of street MAGA. You know, just complaints, wildly ridiculous claims of fraud. And none of it was true. So here it is. Few people made comment about Michael Gabelman's talents and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Michael Gabelman put out a endorsement for Brad Schimmel.
Did he?
Yeah. So Brad Schimmel is really proud of this endorsement by a former Supreme Court Justice, Michael Gabelman, who doesn't really have a lot of, you know, friends at this point, you might say. Robin Voss, the assembly leader who hired Gabelman to lead the review of the 2020 election, calls former state Supreme Court justice an embarrassment to all lawyers.
Okay,
this is a guy who sat on the bench and should be disbarred for going off the rails. Another
who's that
endorsement
this?
Of some sort. Robin Voss.
Robin Voss said that. That's not exactly thumbs up on
Oh, he didn't stop there. He said, I certainly hope Michael Gabelman loses his law license. Okay, that's another one. And he said, I hope he goes back to work at Home Depot where he was working prior to working for us.
Well, Home Depot is a pretty nice place to work.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
You got to know something about, you know, home repairs and stuff like that. So he's got something to offer.
Exactly.
But he's not good at doing investigations into into election matters.
Okay.
But I just love the comments. You know, Robin Voss actually did say at one time that it was the worst decision he's ever made as a politician.
Wow. He's made a lot of bad decisions.
And again, that's
the worst.
He's made a lot. You're right. But it's just an amazing thing that Michael Gabelman sat on the Supreme Court bench at one time.
Yeah.
Like he could have been reelected. Or elected, for that matter. I think he was put on there. All right, now.
You got another story?
Wait
a minute.
Wait.
I think the teletype machine is...
It's coming across the... There it is.
This is working really well.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, you know, billionaires, they need a little help. Government subsidies. And with Trump in charge, they're expecting that.
Oh, thank goodness.
Billionaire,
you know, I was worried about him, you know.
Billionaire CEO Bernard Arnault. He is also hoping to leverage his friendship with Trump in order to garner favorable treatment. He owns France's largest fashion conglomerate.
Oh.
Renault.
What are you? First of all, what's his last name?
Bless you.
Renault.
That's his name?
Yeah, you don't pronounce half the letters.
French.
You just kind of swallow. Yeah, I know. He has Louis Vuitton, other designer labels and stuff like that.
Okay.
Now, this is a crazy thing. I mean, this guy's a billionaire, right?
Sure.
He wants to avoid higher taxes in Europe, so he's thinking about coming to the U.S. Now, let's listen to cut number 8. This is an amazing thing. He expects to have subsidies from the government if he comes here. Listen.
Okay.
French luxury giant LVMH has started the year on an optimistic note, posting a 1% rise in fourth quarter sales, equaling a total of 23.9 billion euros, a sign that the luxury sector may be recovering from a recent downturn. LVMH CEO Bernard Arnault is turning his attention to the United States, where the French conglomerate employs more than 40,000 people.
I just came back from the United States, as you know, and I saw a wave of optimism there. Coming back to France after a few days in the U.S., it's like a cold shower.
Arnault attended U.S. President Donald Trump's inauguration last week alongside other billionaires. Arnault and Trump have had a relationship for decades.
Bernard, I want to thank you for the incredible job you do. You're one of the truly great business people.
Arnault said he is considering bulking up production in the United States. France's richest man has expressed frustration about his home country's bureaucracy and recent plans to further tax larger companies to plug a hole in the state budget. Arnault said U.S.-based factories benefit from attractive tax conditions that will improve under Trump, praising government subsidies for workshops in certain states.
Now, can you believe that?
Seriously, no,
they made $88 billion in 2024. He is looking forward to coming to the U.S., working with Trump so he could get government subsidies for his factories in this country. Yeah. They've got factories here. He wants to build more factories, bigger factories, and get those government subsidies. This is a billionaire who made billions of dollars, wants our taxpayer dollars to help him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's friendly with Trump now, and Trump gave him a big endorsement there. He likes him. Sure, he's going to come back, get some more money.
I think I like the story only because it's Bernard Renault. You know, that was France 24, the network that I'm glued to.
You're getting that on your satellite dish, aren't you?
I do love this network. Okay. Again, you know, they interpret the foreign languages. These other networks do not do that.
They translate it.
You have to read the scroll at the bottom, and you can't do that on the radio. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like France 24. Okay. If you have a chance, check them out sometime, folks.
Okay.
I'm pushing them. You know, I think they're going to start paying me for this.
Okay. So you've endorsed them. That's great. Okay. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to talk to Alyssa Toninato. And she's going to tell us all about this pouring your heart out iron casting art get together thing, right?
Yes.
And also, Judy Davidoff will let us know what's happening in the isthmus.
Bad news about research grants coming up.
Oh, boy. Right around the corner on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX.
Do you have a science story, John?
I do.
Okay.
Yes. We're going to talk about research being threatened at the universities all across the country.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, this is not a good idea. Anyone want to save $4 billion a year so we can cut science out of our curriculum, out of our colleges? You know, the colleges were given all of this research because the overhead is low. I mean, these are universities, you know, that have these setups, you know, to do experimentation, to do all of this research, instead of handing it to private industry, which, by the way, doesn't find any of this very profitable. I mean, they can do all this research if they wanted to, but if it ends up being a dead end, then they've wasted a lot of money. So they've given it to the universities to do all of the research for them. And then they, of course, advance whatever they have come up with to improve the product and then market the product.
Right.
So the universities are pivotal in medical research and other sources of research as well. But DOGE has reduced the research grants to universities. Now, you know, all of this freeze that they have on has not been alleviated. They have not removed the freeze.
Right.
You know, the judges are not happy about it. That's a big story next hour, by the way. Last year, $8 or $9 billion of the $35 billion that the National Institute of Health granted for research was used for administrative overhead, what is known as indirect costs. Today, the NIH lowered the maximum indirect cost, DOGE did, in research, and they lowered it down to 15% because normally this indirect cost averages around 60% of the money that the NIH gets.
Wow.
So the problem here is you have to have the facilities You have all of this equipment. You have the people who are coming in to help out on all of this stuff. You need this overhead, this indirect cost, or else you can't perform the job. A UW buyer had this reaction on Facebook. No words. This will shut medical research down at many large institutions, including University of Wisconsin-Madison. The aftershocks will hurt not only those hoping for life-saving treatments, but the entire state's economy depends on this. Another posted a response on Facebook. Wait, what? NIH is slashing indirect costs to 15%. Many universities and medical centers currently operate with 50 to 70% indirect rates, which cover essential infrastructure, lab space, grant administration, IT, and compliance. A 15% cap means institutions will have to absorb massive costs, making NIH-funded research financially unsustainable for many universities. So,
And there's like 21 states that have joined in on that lawsuit.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
About the NIH slashing the funds.
Yeah.
Or the DOGE folks.
So, you know, what Trump said was this is his intention. He's always intended for everything that the public does to send it to the private sector to make a profit. But he doesn't understand that the private sector doesn't want to have anything to do with this. They don't want to have a lot of studies that go nowhere. They want the colleges to do all that work for them.
Yes.
It doesn't cost anything because of low overhead at the universities. And again, they need at least some of this money, the indirect costs, to just have the labs and the people.
Right. Let's go to the phones. Joe is on the line with a comment this morning. Good morning, Joe. Go ahead.
Well, as we continue the stupidity that, I mean, after all, this is your idiocracy segment, I just wanted to draw to people's attention. There's a great blog called Lawyers, Guns, and Money, and they have a title for the tariffs, the reciprocal tariffs that Donald Trump is looking at. And their title is Reciprocal Tariffs and Donald Trump's Bottomless Stupidity. Now, this had never occurred to me, but he's apparently offering or going to be announcing these reciprocal tariffs this week, as well as this new blanket tariff on steel and aluminum. And this person who works in customs brokering and in this industry says, oh, my God, this is probably the stupidest thing I've ever seen ever. And because he's never read something called a tariff schedule, which is each customs jurisdiction, now the U.S. is going to have to get their hands on their tariff schedule and then parse out what exactly they're going to be charging for tariffs. There are 130 different jurisdiction schedules. Do you see a problem? I kind of do.
I do.
And they're saying, you know, that some countries, for example, don't charge the same tariffs. They're talking about how you have to look at the manufacturer of each particular item to see how much aluminum, where did it come from, how much steel, where did it come from, how much water is in some of these things that's put together. And they said, if you combine that with the manufacturing system that many places have now, which is this just-in-time manufacturing, so you don't keep stuff around. You know, you have just what you need, so you can zip in there. You're not paying for storage. They said, our ports are going to grind to a halt. And if our ports grind to a halt, then manufacturing grinds to a halt. And they said, this guy, he just doesn't have a clue. You know, there's a reason why people don't start trade wars. There's a reason why we don't do this anymore.
Exactly.
So at any rate, just wanted to throw that into the mix. If people want more information, they can check out that particular entry. But it was fascinating as to how complex it is. And of course, you know, President Stupid doesn't have a clue. Just get it done.
Right, exactly.
Get it done.
Yep, he's got an idea, tariffs, raise the tariffs, that's it. And it's to, of course, raise money for his big tax cuts coming up. That's why he's doing all of this.
Yeah. Joe, thank you for your comment.
Yeah, thanks for the details on it. Appreciate it.
Yep. Coming up again, Alyssa Tonitato will be here about the Pouring Your Heart Out Iron Casting Art. That's coming up in our next hour, as well as Judy Davidoff from Isthmus will join us.
Dan White.
We'll be back with more of John and Gordy in mere moments.
We'll be right back to the action.
That's what I
said. Right after this message.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.